My name is Aaron, if you don't know me. I'm going to ask you to be a little gracious with me this morning. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. A little bit under the weather. But I've been trying to take care of myself. I can never remember that saying, if it's feed a fever, starve a cold, or if it's which one you're supposed to feed, the cold or the fever. So I've just been eating a lot in hopes of getting better. So hopefully this goes okay this morning. I'm excited to be up here as we kick off this new series in harmony and talking about what God is calling us to as a church body as far as our relationships, how we're supposed to love one another in our marriages, love our parents, love our children, love our neighbors, all kinds of things. I'm really excited to kind of share with you what God has been opening my eyes to over the next few weeks. If you've been here the last few weeks, though, you know we've been walking through this idea of vision casting, which was really us saying, here's where we've been, here's what God has been doing in the church, and here's where we feel God's calling us. And one of the things you heard in the vision casting was Pastor Jerry came up and very eloquently spoke to us about how he wants to get new talent up on the stage to join us in worship, right? New young talent. And as he was saying that, I thought, you know what? I think I have a few people in mind. So as he was saying, my mind was jogged to this video I had on my phone of two girls singing in the student ministry a few years ago. We were out in Montana on a missions trip on the Indian reservation out there. And we were out on this camp in the middle of nowhere. And I was walking through the woods. Now, it's kind of dangerous at this camp. There's lots of very deadly animals, lots of bears, the record-setting mountain lion was shot on this very campground that we're staying at, right? So there's lots of really deadly animals. So I'm walking through the woods, a little bit worked up about running into something, and I hear this noise in the woods. And so I get my phone out, and as I get closer, it's really just two girls singing. And so I thought, I better catch this on video in case I need this later, and this is the morning I need it for. Because I want to show it to you, and it's kind of like an audition for the worship team. You tell me if you think this would work. I'm glad Pastor Jerry's not in here to see this. We'll decide for him. So make sure the volume's turned up so that we can hear, because it's a short video, but I think it's worth hearing this morning.
Let it go. So give me one more chance. Save me from this road I'm on.
Jesus, take
just let that sit up there for a little bit for life. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that to you. Well, now that I've heard it in front of all of you, I'm thinking maybe that was a poor choice to show you. But, you know, I am very grateful for their scene that week because we didn't need bear spray the whole week. But as I'm thinking back, I think that was one of the last trips I ever took as a youth pastor. And now I'm starting to piece it all together. Now, I'm going to give them some slack because what they were trying to do in that video was sing in harmony, okay? And they had been trying to all week. That was actually one of their better ones. They were trying to sing in harmony. And if you know anything about singing in harmony, I'll just give you a small lesson in harmony, okay? So there's two parts to a song. There's the melody of a song. The melody is the part of the song that we all know. Right? It's the part that we sang as we worshiped this morning. It's the part that gets stuck in your head. It's the familiar section of the song. And then there's the harmony, which is in addition to the melody. Right? The harmony is added notes that come alongside the melody to make it a fuller sounding, stronger, more beautiful song. All these different sounds coming together to support the melody of the song. It's the harmony. And to sing harmony is pretty difficult. You need to kind of have a trained ear to do it. Not just anyone can sing harmony, because you have to be able to not be distracted by the melody of the song and sing different notes that others aren't singing at the same time. It's not easy. But when it comes together, when it's done right, it's beautiful. Right? I hearken back to the middle school bus ride home. I always had in my Discman a CD of Boys to Men. Boyz II Men could pull off a harmony like no other. When it's done well, it's awesome. When it's done poorly, we show it in front of the whole church. But I bring this idea of harmony up because Paul calls us in Romans to live in harmony with one another. We see this all throughout Scripture. Romans 12, they'll live in harmony with one another. The same idea that we've all in the church been gifted in different ways. We all have different voices per se, different talents, different abilities. And we're supposed to bring them into harmony to sing a song together as a church that points people to Jesus. That was my favorite part about the vision casting these last few weeks, because you had different people up here on the stage with different gifts. You had the finance team up here last week, and they're numbers people, and they like to crunch numbers. And they're using that gifting, that ability that God has given them to join in this song. You had the website team up here, and they designed this and brought it all to fruition. Totally different gifts, abilities in that team, and they've used those gifts and abilities alongside the rest of you who are also using your gifts to sing this one beautiful, strong, full song that points people to Jesus. This idea of living in harmony, unifying our voices, our gifts, our abilities to point people to Jesus. And just like it's difficult to sing harmony, it's difficult for us to live in harmony as well. So over the next few weeks, we're going to look at what Scripture says about this idea of living in harmony, of loving each other well, so that we truly can be singing one song in our marriages, in our families, towards our parents, with our friends, as a church body, singing one song that's pointing people to Jesus at all times. Now, maybe it's your first time here. Maybe you've been here for a while. What you're going to hear a lot here at East Swamp is this idea that we're all about loving God and what? Loving others, okay? Now, this is not some new church mantra that we've created. There's thousands of churches gathering this morning that are saying the exact same thing, and that's because that's what Jesus said. We're all about loving God and loving others. But I often think, what comes to mind, what group of people or which individuals come to mind when we say loving others? So I thought, what kinds of groups could come to mind? Well, for some of you, you're doing an incredible job. A number of you have stepped up and are volunteering in the elementary schools here in the school district. You're going in, you're helping the teachers, you're reading to the students. Really awesome opportunity. And so when you hear this idea of loving others, you think, all right, those are my others, right? That classroom, that teacher, those students. Some of you are doing awesome things out at the skate park, right? And so when you think about others, think about that population, that group of people out at the skate park that I'm ministering to. That's my loving others. Some of you are thinking coworkers, the people you walk the hallways with at school. These are all people that we are called to love, and those groups and those people should always be coming up when we're talking about loving others. But if we were to share our responses this morning about what comes to mind when we think of loving others, my guess would be that most of those others are others that exist outside these church walls. I guess that most of those others are others that exist outside the walls of our homes. And that's good, and we are called to love there. But what I want us to recognize this morning is that those closest to us, the love that we show towards them right here as a church body, the love we show in our marriages, towards our children, towards our parents, that love is the kind of love that is going to point someone to Jesus. And too often, those are the relationships that we neglect. And so to live in harmony, we need to look at those relationships that God has put most closely in our lives. As we walk through this series, this is the quote I've used to kind of build our series for us this month. Tim Lane says in his book, Unstuck, as we become more like Jesus, we will find that we view others with increasing charity, clarity, and understanding. My prayer as we walk through this series is that we would grow in those three things, in our marriages, that we would grow in those three things as we love our parents, as we love our children, as we love our neighbors, that we would grow in the areas of clarity, charity, and understanding. So I want to look at this idea of charity this morning. What does it look like for us to grow in charity towards those closest to us? And we're going to look at John 13 for this. I want you, if you have your Bibles, to open them up to John 13. If you have your phones, open your Bible app to John 13. I want you to see that these are Jesus' words. These are not Aaron's words, okay? And we're going to see this idea of growing in charity towards those closest to us this morning. Now, the very idea of charity, or the definition of charity, it simply means a kindness or a goodwill in our relationships. A kindness or a goodwill. But what we're going to see in John 13 is Jesus is going to take this charity to a whole new level in our relationships. Here's what he says. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Two really kind of short verses, but are packed with a whole lot as to what Jesus is calling us to as believers. I want to look at this passage and I want to see what Jesus is calling us to, why he calls it to us, and how he tells us to do it. Okay, so the what is pretty clear. If you were to come into my office on a week where I'm preparing for a message, you'll see up on my whiteboard, I'll have the verse or the verses that we're going to be looking at up there. And then the first thing I do is I'll step back and I'll look for repeating themes or phrases in the verse, and I'll start circling them in the same color so they pop out to me. That's the what of the passage. When you look at John 13, when you step back and you look for repeating themes, one pops out pretty quickly, and it is what? Love one another. Okay, it's pretty simple. The what of the passage is love one another. We are called to love one another. The what is pretty clear to us. The why is also pretty clear. Why should we love one another? It's because by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Why should you love one another? Because it's that love you have for one another that's going to point people to Jesus. They'll know that you're my followers. But we need to take it one step further and look at the how Jesus calls us to love one another. And here's why that's important. Because the word love in our culture has lost all meaning. The word love can mean absolutely anything. So if Jesus were to just tell us to love one another and leave it right there, we would be done for. Here's an example. Last night, I had a chance to go on a date with my wife. And so we head down to Bethlehem and we go to this sushi restaurant, and it's kind of empty. There's plenty of places they could have seated us, but they decided to seat us right next to another couple. Okay? Now, I have a terrible problem with eavesdropping on other people's conversations. Like, it's unhealthy. And so we're sitting there, and Kelsey's sitting across from me, but I'm looking right past her at this other couple having this date. Now, it becomes pretty clear in just the few minutes that we're sitting there that this is a first date. These two don't even know each other. All they know is what they saw on the profile on the dating app they were using. That's it. And so they're sitting there, and the conversation's going south quickly, in my opinion. But as they continue to talk, the guy looks at the girl and says, "I think I love you." Whoa! So this is happening. And there I am sitting with Kelsey, and in the course of dinner, I look at my wife. We've been married for 12 years. I actually messed that up last night and said 11 years. 12 years. And I looked at her and I said, "I love you." Both tables saying the exact same thing. I don't think we meant the same thing. Right? Love could mean absolutely anything you want it to at this point. I love Chick-fil-A. And I love my children. I love the Philadelphia Eagles. And I love my wife. We can use love for just about anything. It means nothing in our culture. If Jesus were to simply say, love one another, we are done for. I mean, nowadays, there's this thing where something you used to love, you can just stop loving it. Or someone we used to love, we can just fall out of that love. Why? Because we have no concept of what love is. If Jesus were to just say, love one another, we'd be in big trouble. But Jesus goes on and he gives us the how. He doesn't just say love one another. He tells us exactly how we are to love one another. He says, love one another. It's simple. Simple phrase. Love one another as I have loved you. You want to know how you're supposed to love your spouse? Well, then learn how Jesus loves you. You want to learn how to love your kids? Kids, you want to learn how to love your parents well? Then learn how Jesus loves you. You want to learn how to love your friends well? Learn how Jesus loves you, because this is the love that we are called to. This is the love that's going to point others beyond us, beyond our relationships, to something far greater in Jesus. So he simply says, here's how I want you to love one another. I want you to love one another just as I have loved you. So I thought, what does that look like for Jesus to love us? And two words seem to surface in Scripture that are markers of Christ's love for us. And these are the two words. Are there more? Absolutely. These are the two big ones. Sacrifice and grace. These are two things that are clearly evident in the love Jesus has towards us, and therefore should be evident in our love towards those closest to us. Our love in our marriages, in our families, towards our brothers, towards our sisters, in our church family, should be full of sacrifice and full of grace. Let's look at sacrifice for a second. We understand the idea of sacrifice, right? In Ephesians 2, Paul says it again. He's almost echoing what Jesus was saying. Walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us. He goes on to detail how Christ loved us. And it was that he gave himself up as a sacrifice. How does Jesus love you? He sacrificed for you, and therefore we are called to sacrifice. We understand this idea. Sacrifice means to give up something of yourself for someone else. Right? This main idea is we're going to work to elevate others, even if it means lowering our position. It means helping when it's not convenient. It means giving when it hurts. It means devoting energy to the well-being of others. Now, little known fact about me, I love to sing harmony. I got it from my mom. My mom used to be pretty famous in these parts. She sang in a really famous group up here called Ladies Rejoice. She was awesome. She still is awesome, but man, when she belted out those harmonies, she would come up here and my mom didn't know the melody to any song. She always sang the harmony. Every time any song came on, it was the harmony. She'd be whistling it. She'd be singing it. And so she just instilled that in me to sing harmony. But I learned something important about harmony not too long ago. Actually, it's a fact that my wife pointed out to me. It's fun how our wives can point things out to us that no one has ever before, right? And so we're sitting in the car, and a song comes on, and I'm singing for about 10 seconds. It used to be like 5 seconds before Kelsey would cut me off. But she's growing in her love towards me, too. She cut me off, and she'd say, Aaron, do you know anything about harmony? And no, but I'd love a lesson. Well, Aaron, when you sing harmony, let me just tell you a little something about harmony. The harmony should be quieter than the melody. And I'm still working on this. But she's right. The reason that we can see that when we sing a song, the melody is the one we all know because it's the loudest voice. It's the loudest sound. right? Harmony simply plays the background. It's quieter. It's supporting and boosting the song to make it sound fuller and stronger and more beautiful. Harmony sacrifices. Harmony plays the background. This is what it looks like to live in harmony with those closest to us. It means we take the back seat. Our desires, our wants, our needs take the back seat to those we are loving. A few months ago, I was sitting at our dining room table, and everyone got up except this one young guy who was getting married in a few months. And we were sitting there, and he turned to me. And now I've seen this guy grow up. I've seen almost every part of his life, the ups and the downs. And so he feels pretty comfortable with me asking questions. And so he turns and he says, "Aaron, can I ask you a question?" I'm going to be honest, that's the phrase I dread hearing anybody say to me, because they're always looking for an answer right there. And I'm going to be honest, I can answer about 5% of the questions that are asked of me. And so he turns and he says, "Can I ask you a question?" And reservedly I say, "Yeah." Now he's going to be married in a few short weeks. And he had questions swirling around in his head. And I was thinking, this might get serious. Do I need to draw diagrams? Like, I'm breaking out in a cold sweat as to what this question might be. But I didn't have to draw any diagrams. His question is pretty simple. He said, "My question has to do with roles in marriage. What do I do about roles in marriage?" Okay, I think I got this one. Can you maybe be a little bit more specific? "Yeah, I hate to do the dishes." And my fiance, she hates to do the dishes. But I think, like, I'm going to be working a lot, long hours. I'm going to be doing other things around the house. I really think that she should do the dishes. What do you think? This is simple. I answered, it's probably not the way he thought I would, but I said, "Do it. Do the dishes." "Oh, neither of you like to do the dishes?" Nobody likes to do the dishes. You do it. Why? Because you're going to love your wife the way that Jesus loves you. And you're going to sacrifice. And your wants and your desires and your needs are going to take a back seat to your wife as you love her like Jesus loves you. We sacrifice. This just isn't just in our marriages, right? I hear stories of guys living with their roommates and dishes pile up in the sink, and they go through internal struggles about whether they should do the dishes, if this is harming them in the long run or not. But you know what? At the end of the day, the dishes are done. Why do we do this? Because this is the kind of love that Jesus has called us to. A love that sacrifices. Why? Because he has sacrificed for us. Here's what the study notes say in the Life Application Bible for this verse. Love is an attitude that reveals itself in action. It helps when it's not convenient. It gives when it hurts. It devotes energy to others' welfare, absorbing hurts without complaining. This is hard. That's why people notice when you do it and know you are empowered by a supernatural force. This love is hard. And it can only be done through the work of the Spirit in our lives. But this is the kind of love we are called to. The love that Jesus has for us, when we read, "Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his own" what? "Life for his friends." So you want the best relationship advice I've got this morning? The best relationship advice for how you should get along with your spouse, or how you should get along with your parents, or how you should get along with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, how you should get along with your friends at school? The best relationship advice I have this morning is this: stop making it about you. Stop making it about you. Stop thinking what you have to say is what is most important. Start listening. And I mean, really, start listening. Not the kind of listening where we're just hearing as we conjure up what we want to say next. Start listening. Hear the needs of those around you. Better yet, become aware of the needs around you and act on it. And it's going to cost you because sacrifice costs. But it's the kind of love that we've been called to. Lay down your desires. Start picking up for those around you. Now, we've said this before, but I think a lot of the angst in our relationship would go out the window if we simply did this. We simply out-loved the person that God has put in our life. Right now, what does it look like for you to out-love your spouse? What does it look like for you to out-love your brother, your sister? What does it look like for you to out-love, to out-serve, to out-listen to our brothers and sisters that have come together this morning? It's going to cost us. But this kind of love, this sacrifice, is what is going to point others to something so much greater than us, because it's a reflection of the sacrifice made in the good news of Jesus. So we love like Jesus. We lay down our lives for those that he's brought into it. But this goes a step further. I said there was two words that kind of surfaced. There was sacrifice and there was what? Grace. I view grace as kind of an add-on to sacrifice this morning. I want to explain to you why. We see grace come up all the time in Scripture. In Acts 15, it is by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. We see this theme of grace all over the pages of Scripture. But I believe it takes sacrifice to a whole new level. See, we can swallow sacrificing a little easier when it's towards those who are easy for us. Like if I'm called to sacrifice for my children today, I find that a whole lot easier if they're obedient than if they're little terrors, right? We find it easier to sacrifice for our spouses when they're pleasing to us. So there's a part of sacrifice that's kind of easy for us. I can easily sacrifice for those who are easy for me to be with, easy to love. But this idea of grace takes sacrifice to a whole new level. The definition of grace is pretty simple. It's giving the good to someone that they don't deserve. So now you have sacrifice, and you add grace to that, which says you continue to sacrifice even when the person you are sacrificing for doesn't deserve it. Even when it's not easy for you, even when the feelings are not mutual, the love Jesus has for us is a love that says, I will sacrifice even when you don't deserve it. And this is the story that's painted so clearly for us in the gospel. We see Scripture is all about Jesus coming to make a sacrifice for us, right? He comes from heaven, which if we were just to get a taste of heaven, we wouldn't give it up for anything. Comes from heaven, empties himself, lays down his life as a sacrifice for us. When he's doing that, you know what our condition is? We're awesome. We're doing everything that he's telling us to do. We're loving each other well. Everything that we do in our lives is pointing people to God. Was that our condition when Jesus came? No. The Bible paints the complete opposite picture. That we were living in darkness, that we were full of sin. The Bible goes as far as saying we were enemies of God. And it is while we were enemies, deserving no good from God, that he sends Jesus to be a sacrifice, a moment that is full of grace, the good that we do not deserve. So what does it look like in terms of our relationships to sacrifice and be gracious? It means these sacrifices even come when it's hard, when you feel like your wife is on you about something. You show grace and continue to sacrifice. When your husband is giving you the silent treatment, you love him well, you love him like Jesus loves you. When your teenager says hurtful things to you or makes a poor decision, you show grace and continue to love like Jesus. When your friend stabs you in the back, you show grace. When your neighbor continues to put their Christmas tree in your front yard every year as if that's where it gets picked up and it sits there till February 9th until you have to drag it to the trash, which means they'll just do the same thing again next year, you keep dragging the tree to the trash. Grace says you sacrifice, even when it's hard, even when the feelings aren't mutual, even when they don't deserve it. Why? Because we've been called to love one another in our marriages, in our homes, our friends. We've been called to love one another like Jesus loves us. And it is a love that we did not deserve. And it is a love full of sacrifice and full of grace. So my challenge this week is to step up in our love for one another. I don't know what that looks like. I've really been praying hard because when you teach to a wide range of people, you never know what God's going to do. And so I've been praying that as we work through this, that God would bring to mind for each one of us that person that he's calling us to love more like him and his love towards us this week. And so my challenge would be to think of that person that God is bringing to mind and think of a way that you can sacrifice for them this week. And maybe you're already doing this. Think of a new way to add on to the sacrifices and grace that you're already showing. As we seek to love more like Jesus, and I don't know what this looks like. I have a small example for husbands because I feel like as husbands we're have the hardest heads and don't get it quite as well. But maybe this week what it looks like for us as husbands is it means we step up and start to pray with our wives. And I realize that that's a huge sacrifice. I sit in Fight Club with a bunch of husbands just like me, and often they'll say, I want to pray with my wife, but it's hard because it's uncomfortable. And so here's what I challenge you to do. Sacrifice your comfort level this week to sit down and love your wife well by praying with her. And I hope that God brings to mind for each of us in our different situations how he wants us to sacrifice and love well those that he's put in our lives this week. And I'd ask you to go one step further and tell somebody this morning before you go what God's put on your mind so they can keep you accountable to that, so that we can continue to grow together as a body of believers who are loving each other well, who are pointing people to Jesus simply by the way we treat one another. I want us to have marriages that are loving one another so well that our marriages are pointing people to Jesus. Kids, I want you to love your parents so well that that love sticks out from anything that's happening in this world so much so that it might point them to Jesus. We're going to grow in our love for one another so that more and more people might come to know the name of Jesus. And so my challenge is simply that. Let's love well this week. Let's love one another like Jesus loves us. Let's pray. God, we are blown away by the love you have for us, because it makes no sense that you would sacrifice for us, that you would give up your life so that we might have life. It makes no sense because we deserved, because of our sin, we deserved separation from you for all eternity. And so God, we stop right now to thank you for the gospel, to thank you for the salvation and the life that is found in it. That while we were sinners, while we were enemies of yours, you sent Jesus to die in our place so that we might be forgiven and have life with you. And God, now you've called us to show a similar love to those around us. And this challenge is huge. To grow in our love for one another, to sacrifice, to be gracious towards one another. God, this is not something that we can do on our own. And so we pray that your Spirit would be at work in mighty ways, even today as we seek to love each other well. But throughout this week, as we step up to this challenge, and sacrifice and be gracious towards those that you have brought into our lives, not so that people can look on us and say how great we are, but that they might look straight through us and see how great you are. So we pray that our love is just a reflection of yours and brings glory to your name, God. We pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.